Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. Today, as promised, Julie and I are presenting to you your 12-month proven center of influence and past client plan. So there are going to be a lot of notes in today's podcast, a lot of details in today's podcast. And as always, if you want the exact notes that Julie and I are presenting to you guys today, you can get them from harrisrealestatedaily.com, which is our new newsletter. It is our latest art project, as we're referring to it. And you can go to harrisrealestatedaily.com and download all the notes. Just subscribe and we'll send the notes along with a lot of other exclusive information for newsletter subscribers directly to your email box every single day. So do that right away. It costs you nothing. harrisrealestatedaily.com. That's the first announcement. Second announcement is that tomorrow we're doing our Ask Tim and Julie Anything podcast. And if you'd like to submit a question, please feel free to do so by texting me at 512-758-0206. And some topics that we'd like to start discussing more if you guys show interest in it, maybe about working out, maybe about wealth building, maybe about working with your spouse, maybe about, you know, longevity of relationships. I mean, Julie and I have been married for over 3 decades. Maybe it's about building a real estate team. Maybe it's about whatever it's about, send the message to us. And how open are we to strange conversations? Well, you know, here's one. We started a strange conversation on Instagram recently where I started putting up pictures of when we took our daughter to Area 51 to visit the Alien Museum. So
so there's that.
So to say Julie and I have varied topics, I wouldn't go as far as to say we're polymaths, but we like all kinds of weird stuff. So whatever you guys want to talk about.
We're talking about French bulldogs, we're in.
We're in. So send us the questions at 512-758-0206. And the third announcement is a correction. I was commenting on John Walkinshaw up in Canada, and it turns out I got some of the numbers wrong. His numbers are actually a heck of a lot more impressive than what I said.
Well, as an individual agent selling in Canada, and John lives in an area called Orangeville, which is part of Ontario, Canada, he is number one in his province of Ontario, number 12, and these are EXP stats, number 12 in all of Canada, having sold $33.5 million worth of transactions, 56 ends, as they say. Mostly listings. So if you've got referrals for anywhere in Ontario, John's your guy. He sells them big and small, ranch, farm, a little bit of commercial, a lot of normal residential, a fair amount of luxury residential. He can handle that for you. So he's your guy. And kudos to you, John, for being number one in Ontario.
And also, Julie, can you text him right now and let him know I'd like to redo his interview?
Yes.
Just want to redo that one again.
He'll be great.
As a matter of fact, ask him if he wants to do it this Friday. So we are doing a bunch of interviews for high caliber agents and really true real estate influencers, not just people that say they're influencers because they have a lot of followers on Instagram, but the actual movers and shakers in the real estate industry that many of whom we are friends with or coaching clients. I did one last week with Ricky Carruth, who was a coaching client, a whole bunch of other folks that you guys will recognize the names of. So those interviews are going to be available exclusively to Harris Real Estate Daily subscribers. And so if you're not yet subscribing, please make sure you do so, along with a lot of other exclusive content. So Julie, let's get to it, because I know these guys want this 12-month success blueprint for building their center of influence and past client list.
Yes, this is your monthly, quarterly, or seasonal center of influence and past client suggested event schedule. This is the fun stuff. Note, there are several categories of events. Events that you create, promote, and manage yourself. Events that you can sponsor, which are created by others. And smaller get-togethers with select groups from your list. So those are your different sort of buckets of events. I will say that this requires you to not be a secret agent, but there's something for everyone. We're going to go through this relatively quickly. Your job is to circle what you want to do. Did you tell them how to get the notes?
Well, yeah, I did, but I'm reminding you to remind them that this is day three. So if you've not listened to the previous two podcasts, listen to them in sequence, because we were building up to this from the previous two podcasts. Though this is great information as standalone, it's even more powerful if you listen to the past two shows. And those, of course, are available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, or wherever else you happen to be listening to our shows.
All right. Now, some of you will want to be doing virtually all of this, so keep yourself organized. You can certainly ask your coach and Premier Coaching to help you. There, again, there's big and small events, so we're going to do this somewhat sequentially starting in January. You can do a Happy New Year party or a How to Winterize Your Home video message. If you're having a blizzard where you live, make a video about preparedness, emergency systems, where to get the best snowblower, things like that. You could do a neighborhood WhatsApp for how to contact people to remove your snow or whatever occurs for you in your Happy New Year, you know, your January category.
So if you're going to be doing events like what Julie just suggested, plan accordingly, but also adjust accordingly to what your market is going to show the most interest in. When Julie and I were doing events as part of our real estate business, we would always try to theme it around one or two different charities, but also we'd love to do things for, we do canned food drives. We did things for veterans. We did
toy drives,
things like that. So all of our focus when we were doing events wasn't just for the sake of getting folks together, which, by the way, that by itself is fine. We would always try to, you know, tie it into some other community event. So when people, we had, I think this was after September 11th, where we had a huge canned food drive. Was it after?
We did several, but that was one of them, yeah.
Right, and we did it at our house in New Albany. And we had people crashing the party, frankly.
That was a great one.
But we put it all together. We had a title company help pay for it. We had a card reader, or what was it? It was Rochelle's idea.
Like a fortune teller or something.
Yeah, that
like
was in the basement that was reading, you know, people were lined up. The whole thing was just spectacular.
With a big sheet cake of the American flags. Now, that's to your point. That was something that was circumstantial. Adjust accordingly what's happening.
And we had so many cans that people brought by. The church that we had prearranged to drop all these cans off to said they couldn't handle it. I mean, that's a nice problem to have, right?
Indeed it was. So, you know, you can create some of these things. Number two, February, use red hot candles for a pop-by gift. And you might say, it might be cold outside, but the market is red hot. Or I love referral business, playing into Valentine's Day, of course. Using heart candy or heart candles. You can use these for door knocking, lead follow-up, open house giveaways at the closing table. Bring them to new build reps and ask for their resale referrals.
Now, if you're going to be giving away tchotchkes, definitely, make phone calls. Tchotchkes by themselves aren't good enough. So if you're going to be dropping off something like that, that's, you know, tied into Valentine's Day in this example, knock on the door and give it to them.
Don't knock and run.
Do not knock and run. Do not throw it at their doorstep. Do not leave a bag of candy on their doorstep for some kid that happens to be, you know, their daughter who's happened to be allergic to red dye, eats it. And then the next thing you know, you're being, you know, brought up on charges and silliness like that.
Use your head.
Make a phone call. And as far as where you should be getting some of these things, you can buy all of this stuff online. Just use your friend Google and search for heart-shaped candles or whatever. Or guess what? You can make your own too.
Yeah, or use Amazon. There you go. Okay, number three, spring in general. Tax time, you can offer free CMAs. Closing statements to last year's clients. You can do a video email offering an updated market analysis. Follow up with phone contact. Now, the best spin that I have seen on this are two of my current coaching clients, Tammy Irby in Northern Virginia and Jeannie Adinolfi in Phoenix. Jeannie borrowed the idea from Tammy. Tammy created these really great, she got almost everything on Amazon, these very nice, clear, basic backpacks. She has information on her and her team. She has a free CMA offer. She has some things about how to stage your house. It's very warm and fuzzy, nice, not too expensive. And she is door knocking with those. So Jeannie is doing that. She's going to deploy hers this week. Tammy has already taken listings off of this.
That's incredible.
So that's a good spring overall free CMA offer type of thing.
Since you mentioned tax, everyone's, you know, least favorite topic. I'm going to drop this in here.
Sure.
I don't know if this is one of your points. If it is, just kick
me. Okay, maybe.
One of the things that Julie and I did that worked really well when we sold real estate is a lot of cities and states, you know, are not cheap when it comes to property taxes. And you can contest the value of your property taxes every single year. And it's not that difficult. You generally speaking have just to fill out a one-page form and include a CMA, you know, an actual CMA showing what comps are and why the property tax assessment should be lowered. I would say 99% of the time when you do that, you submit those, you know, the CMA and the form and the request to have it, you know, revalued, they're going to lower the property taxes usually by, you know, not a lot, by a little. So one of the things we would do that was highly effective was we would call our centers of influence and past clients. We'd let people know about this process where they can lower their taxes. We would give them the forms, offer to do a CMA. And do you think people were looking forward to those calls? Because obviously we're putting money in their pockets. We're doing something of service that nobody else was doing. Think outside of the box, guys.
Well, that's right. I think everybody knows that you can fight your property tax, but not everybody knows how to do it.
It's very simple.
And it's very simple. So you are, when you're looking for something of value, that literally has value.
And when you're calling them and you're offering to do an assessment of their property's value, what a killer way of saying, oh, by the way, now they've got you on the phone. Who are the two or three people that you can think of that are buying and selling real estate that I should be helping this year?
Exactly. Point number four, spring, buy or sell with me, adopt a pet for free promotion. Work with your ASPCA or local shelter for a specific format. They often promote this to you and for you with press releases or events like through PetSmart Adoption Days. Promote your event via video sent to your database, individual phone calls to invite your people, and of course, post on social media. Note to self, press releases are easy to get published and free. This is the type of event that gets a lot of media attention.
Warning, warning, you could end up adopting a lot of pets. We did.
Not that we would know.
That was a mistake. Be very careful. That buy or sell with me, adopt a pet for free was Julie's idea back when we were like, you know, 24 and 25. And at that time, we had four cats and two dogs. So you've been warned.
Yes, you have been warned. Exactly. All right, number five, we're up to May. Memorial Day parades, especially if you're in a military or historic town. Participate in existing parades. Give out candy, water bottles, American flags. Create a Facebook live session or a video about VA loans and tie it into that, how they work. You can door knock your neighborhood. You can door knock prior to your open houses with red, white, and blue candy and flags. You can plant flags for people. There's all kinds of stuff for Memorial Day.
Here's an idea. I have many coaching clients that, you know, Julie and I have had over the years that are in military areas, military base areas and things like that. A lot of folks who are in the military, retired, decided to stay there. And there's parades that happen all the time. And you can do a trade in your American flag promotion where you can essentially let the marketplace know that you're going to have brand new American flags for sale. Make sure you buy American flags made in America, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm not suggesting that you give them away unless you want to, but sell them and tell them they could trade in their old flag that might be a little long in the tooth. It's considered unpatriotic to have to fly a flag that, you know, needs
that's
repairs.
Ratty.
So
yeah.
That's ratty. So anyone who is certainly a veteran is going to respect and appreciate that. Be creative. Like I said, tie in what you're thinking about doing to your market. Don't try to like go in the middle of, you know, Murphy, North Carolina, where Julie and I have our vacation home, and do some sort of, you know, something that's going to be completely out of alignment with what the people are going to expect in a marketplace.
Read the room,
like
right?
Exactly. Read
yeah.
the room.
Okay. Those are all good ideas. And I think, you know, that's great because it's Memorial Day. It's patriotic. It's summer. There's all kinds of things you can do. One of my coaching clients did a picnic for Memorial Day where they rented a photo booth and they were doing family photos. It was just a fun little event. All right. June. How about paper and pancakes? Paper shredding party. This was invented by a coaching client. Rent a shredding truck and a pancake food truck and host a shredding party at your office or an event center or clubhouse.
Hold on. So you're saying shred the pancakes?
No, it's paper and pancakes is what she calls it. This is a surprising turnout. She said that to me on a coaching call. I'm like, I don't know about that. But it's become so popular that she's done it, I think, 5 years in a row.
Don't Lance and Karen do that every year? Lance
I think
Karen.
They do it as well.
Lance
yeah.
and Karen Kenmore?
Yeah, paper and pancakes.
Right, because everyone's got it. Well, you know.
A mound of stuff to shred.
Maybe depending on where you live in the country, April would be a good time to do it too, because that's when
taxes.
People are doing all their taxes stuff. Yeah.
That's right. And by the way, you know, those of you selling real estate probably have a whole lot of paper stacking up for you to shred.
Well, okay, so we're making the assumption. You can have somebody, there's people, companies that will bring out a paper shredder, and you just, it's like one of those things that you see guys that do landscape work.
A leaf chipper.
Exactly. The chipper, and it just basically shreds up paper. But there will be a lot of people that show up. They're going to show appreciation for having done that.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe you do some of these simultaneously. And let me give you this as an example. Again, this is a Julie Harris idea, of course. We did a, am I stepping on your idea for October?
We're going month by month.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to talk about October.
So we'll do the fun stuff. Don't worry.
Okay.
I know I'm reading your mind. All right. So we're up to summer, tornado, hurricane, and fire season. After a disaster or in anticipation of something, you can host a donation drive. You can do this door knocking or ask people to drop off donations at your office or your home office. Get good press for this throughout your local papers and TV stations. I'm thinking about those of you, you know, out west that have all these fires happening all the time. We've got hurricanes in Florida most of the summer. Midwest has tornadoes. So there's going to be something that you can tie that to. And you can also be the purveyor of disaster preparedness phone numbers and things like that. So, you know, adjust accordingly.
Tie in with what Jillie just said. Again, this is something we did and we have all of our coaching clients do as well. Look, and for example, if you're living in Texas or you're living in Oklahoma, you know, guess what happens every year? It's tornado season. So call everyone that you know, offer them a list of the, you know, your trusted folks that you use for roof repairs, for all kinds of things that happen post-storm or even pre-storm to prepare for it. And then call them up and offer them the list. They're all going to say yes, obviously. And that's a great excuse then for you to, you know, hey, by the way, who do you know who's thinking about buying or selling real estate, right? So always be, if you bring, it's like opening the door for somebody when you're walking into a restaurant, at least most of the country, mm-hmm. where people are grateful for that. When you open the door for somebody, they're going to somehow repay the favor. If not to you, they're going to open the door for another stranger. There's some sort of karmic, you know, imbalance that happens. I don't know what it is. Reciprocity. Some people call it the law of reciprocity. But just keep these things in mind. Spread goodness, starting with, you know, your centers of influence and past clients. And you are the purveyor of something that, you know, could expand into something miraculous like the next few points Julie's going to share with you.
Yes, totally agree. All right, now summer/fall. Work with the American Red Cross for a blood drive. They'll bring the blood mobile to your location and even prospect for you so you have a maximum turnout. This is one of the best events that we ever did. It's very easy to work with the American Red Cross, and we also tied that, and we're going to get
point
to, the
next
to point number nine. So, okay, now remember the American Red Cross and the blood drive idea. Next number is number nine, fall and October. Pumpkin Fest. How do these two go together? Host at your home, clubhouse.
Kind of like pancakes and paper shredders.
Exactly. Host this at your home, your clubhouse, school, library, or recreation center. Buy your pumpkins wholesale in September and invite your neighborhood, your clubs, your community, your past clients, centers of influence. This is a very popular event. You can get apple cider or partner with your local coffee house to cater the event. Think about who in your database has a bakery, a coffee shop, or other businesses that you can support in conjunction with this. So, let's talk about how Pumpkin Fest and the Red Cross can go hand in hand.
Well, okay, but I just realized something as you're reading that point.
What?
You realize Halloween is pretty much one of the last agnostic holidays that there are. Everyone else seems to take offense to every other holiday for whatever reason, except for Halloween. So there you go. So here was the idea. You are in a town. You sell real estate. Now, if you're living in a city with condos, you know, you're in Manhattan.
You can find a park to do it.
Right. Okay, exactly. All right. So what we did is we found a local farmer that, guess what, was a pumpkin farmer. There are those in Central Ohio. I mean,
a lot of the country has pumpkin farmers.
We had to go to maybe Circleville, but he delivered these pumpkins.
Yes.
So we put these pumpkins. We didn't get permission from the HOA or anything. You know, who needs permission? Bah! So we put all these pumpkins in our front yard, and then we let the whole community know that we were doing this pumpkin drive. I don't remember how many pumpkins.
It was like 200 in our normal, you know, subdivision lot. We had, you know, bales of hay. We had pumpkins. We had somebody, a past client of ours, was the manager of Starbucks. She catered it with her table of Starbucks.
Well, let's get to that. So we give them details. So we had all of our team. We had seven buyers, agents, all these others. They all helped us situate all of this. And we did it like the night before, knowing that the Pumpkin Fest was going to start the next day. No, we were not ravaged by a bunch of teenagers because we were smart enough to look out for that, which would have been funny, but that didn't happen. So the next day, by like noon, all the pumpkins were sold. And our backyard, our front yard wasn't that big. It was a field of orange.
No, but it was 200 plus pumpkins. They were gone.
Exactly. So we knew that was a huge, okay, this was a winning idea. Now, how did the money work? We bought the pumpkins. We sold the pumpkins for what we paid for. No, did we margin them?
Yeah, because we gave some to charity.
We gave it all to charity.
Yes. So we bought at wholesale. And yes, farmers will do that if you get them like in September because they know about how many thousands of pumpkins they're going to have. So we bought the pumpkins for wholesale. I want to say they were like $2 or $3. We sold them for retail, which is $5 or $6, depending on the size. And then we donated the proceeds to Westerville Symphony, which was also part of my center of influence. So I know this sounds a little bit like throwing all of these things at the wall, but this became such a popular event that we had to move it.
Exactly. So the following year, oddly enough, or I think to the credit of the HOA where we lived, nobody complained, which was bizarre because this was kind of a nice neighborhood. Anyway, so we moved it to, we called up the elementary school principal and we said, can we use your parking lot? Now, I'm going to tie a whole bunch of things together, so pay attention. Mm-hmm. Can we use your parking lot in the field by your, you know, in the, you know, kids play
the front
soccer
lawn.
And we want to do this. And she was at first, she was like, well, Pumpkin Drive, real estate agents, you guys are doing something, blah, 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 blah. Oh, no, you misunderstand. We're actually doing a blood drive for the American Red Cross, and we're doing this Pumpkin Drive, and we're raising money. At that point, I think that year, we were donating money to something that was local in the New Albany Country Club area or the New Albany area. So, I mean, it was all, you know, at that point, green lights for her. Now, we called up the American Red Cross, and they were incredibly receptive to doing the blood drive. Now, we did not know at that point, how incredibly organized the American Red Cross was. So let me tell you what happened. We did our normal thing. We got press releases for free. In the local paper, we had a press release that happened in the regional news outlets. Pumpkin Drive was off to the races. We, you know, hired an army of folks to help us put the pumpkins out. We didn't, again, we were anticipating it to be a huge success, but man, did we underestimate it again. American Red Cross, what they did is they showed up, they're an army, and they put up gurneys. We thought they're going to show up with like a, you know, a bus where people would stand in line and donate blood. Yeah. You guys have seen that before. Nope. They did have the bus, but what they did is they had actually went ahead and worked directly with the principal of the elementary school, and they'd set up donation gurneys. I don't even remember how many rooms, like 10.
I know. It was in like, the classrooms.
If you guys remember the show from MASH, I mean, that's basically what it was like. And they were so organized, and they had everything down to an art form. But what the American Red Cross did, in addition to obviously being organized to get blood donations, is they directly telemarketed, called into the community, letting them know that they're doing this blood drive. And the name of the blood drive was tied to Julie and I, Tim and Julie Harris's Pumpkin Fest, right? And so they were calling, inviting people using our names, marketing and branding for us into this community, trying to get people to do the blood drive. And did people show up? It was extraordinary.
It was a mob scene.
It was a mob scene. Now, all the pumpkins were gone, again, by maybe 12:30 opposed to 12. And we had I don't even know, more than 200, maybe 500 pumpkins. We had trucks that were dropping off pumpkins. It was just a sight to behold. We had, at that point, Starbucks. Turns out Starbucks, every local Starbucks, their manager, if you ask the manager, they will sponsor through coffee and sometimes other things, not money, but coffee, your local event. So they'll show up, they'll donate coffee, it'll have their branding on it, the whole thing, for free. But this thing became such a success. I'll never forget, though. It was around like 1:30. This big Greyhound bus shows up. It wasn't a Greyhound, but it was a non-branded big-ass boat or, you know, bus.
Yeah.
And so it kind of lumbers in. And then we're like, oh, my gosh. I mean, what the hell is this? You know, and at this point, the pumpkins were pretty much all sold. The blood drive was still going on, but the blood, you know. And so all these folks from this old folks home or whatever you call them nowadays, retirement community,
yep.
You know, got off the bus there to buy pumpkins, and most of the pumpkins were sold. So, I mean, again, next year we
sold out.
We did better and we bought more pumpkins.
Well, every time you do these events, you learn more and more, you know. So don't be, you can do a smaller version of this. Our first one was in our front lawn of our house. You can start with that. Then we added the Red Cross. Then we added and added and added. And then you start to be able to plan. You realize that the Red Cross really has their act together. They keep a database of anybody in the community that regularly donates blood. And they call and they make sure that that person shows up. Bring a friend. They prospect the community. So that's like having a partner on your event.
Could we have done this for zero base? Yes, we could have. We could have called up mortgage, title. I already told you about Starbucks and all the rest. And have them basically pay for it. And we would have provided the labor of the organization, right? So the moral of the story is this is something that all of you can be doing. Julie and I had people that we did not know who would come up to us in the grocery store and other places and thank us for our participation in the community. We obviously picked up more friends, more centers of influence, more past clients, and more real estate deals from doing this. But our original intent really was because where we sold real estate in Ohio, that was the time of year where things started to get slow. And we had a lot of unspent energy and we wanted to contribute to the community. And that's what kind of spawned it.
Yes, that's absolutely right. The reason that as a coach, I like these events is because this is one day, in the case of the Pumpkin Fest, a very long day, but one day where you as an agent, as somebody in the community, makes a huge amount of contacts. You have tons of conversations. You get to practice your Ford script. It's really good for you, for your business. It has a lot of long-term trailing effects. And it shouldn't just be one event. Again, you can do multiple different types of these things.
But think about what we're talking about right now. You guys want to have the ultimate brand air quoting, which is essentially another way of saying reputation. What's a better reputation than someone that actually sincerely contributes to the community, not just someone who's doing trying to become an Instagram celebrity who has the niche of your neighborhood? You guys get the difference? This is how you elevate your brand, if you want to tie it to the modern vernacular. Even if you're a new agent, you can still pull this off. But if you're a seasoned veteran agent, you already have a lot of name recognition and past successes in the community, this is absolutely a home run idea.
100%. And the next one is one of my favorites as well. All of you can do this. We're up to November and Thanksgiving time. Host a Thanksgiving food drive. You can promote this on your website, Facebook page, Instagram, etc., personal phone calls, submit press releases to your local media. Partner with an existing food pantry or church to get additional support and press. Plus, you have to have some place to take your food drive items. You also can have a Friendsgiving event at your home or restaurant. That's separate. We're just working with the Thanksgiving theme here. Ask your local elementary school, churches, and synagogues for families in need and sponsor them with a surprise turkey dinner or 10 of them.
You could have gone back and you could have tied in, for example, the Buy or Sell With Me, Adopt a Pet for Free, and your local Humane Society could have had a carve out for your Pumpkin Fest. You could have also done in October for your Pumpkin Fest, you could have done, Julie has this as point number 10, November, Thanksgiving, but you could have actually skipped the community event for November because you did a big one in October, but don't skip the one that's in December.
All right, so point number 11, December Christmas holiday toy drive. Partner with your police or fire departments for toy pickup or have your past clients and sphere contacts drop off toys at your home or office. Send thank you cards, highlight them on Facebook, have your local paper do a feature story, etc. So many different ways you can work a toy drive. You can be a Secret Santa going to Target or Best Buy or something like that.
So that's what I would do. And you just blazed over it. So we need to explain it.
Yeah.
So go to, there used to be a Toys R Us, but go to a place that has kids' toys for sale. There's
A
layaway. Ask the store manager, tell the store manager you want to actually pay off the layaways for folks that have been paying off, laid away. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Christmas presents. Or what have you.
So what happens is some of you don't know this, so I shouldn't assume you do, but stores have layaway things where if you don't have the money to buy whatever it is, it's like you can go in there whatever month it is, October, you can Christmas shop for your kids. They put them in the back and then you go in there every single month and you essentially pay
you
all those
payments.
Things off.
Yep.
Right. I mean, people do that even – people, frankly, that don't have any money and don't have any credit are the ones primarily that do this. So go to a Walmart. Go to a place where – or maybe a part of your community where people are going to not have a lot of money and walk in the store manager – ask them, say, I want to actually set aside some money and I want to pay off all the layaways of all the folks who have toys, and be specific as far as what you're wanting to, agree to pay for, and give the store manager a couple weeks to actually determine which layaways are going to qualify for your rules. Julie and I always made it so they had to be presents for kids under a certain age. They couldn't, all these types of things. We wanted the money specifically going to kids. And then Julie and I would just do it ourselves. But if we were still selling real estate, this would be a great way to actually tie in your holiday toy drive. If you don't want to deal with a toy drive, because frankly, the firefighters do a great job of that.
They do.
What I would do is take it to the next level, what I just said, and maybe you use your own creative juices to figure out how to do this. But say that you're going to you raise money to pay off all the layaways for the kids at these three Walmarts or whatever it's going to be. That would be another way for you to essentially be contributing in a meaningful way during the holidays.
It's a great way to do some direct giving that doesn't have any middleman in the way.
Exactly.
And know that what you're doing is going to very targeted cause. So you might be surprised. One of the things that I would focus on this, if you're going to Walmart or Target or whatever, start with anybody who has toys specifically on layaway this time of year, going into the holidays time of year. And say, I want to start with anybody who is making payments on $25 or less. That's somebody who has no money, but is still trying to create a nice experience for their kids. Let's say you had a $500 budget. You might be able to help 20 different families. You don't have to spend a ton of money on this. And then what I would do is I would tie it to your social media and invite your past clients, your centers of influence, your friends to participate in the same thing. That way you can have even bigger impact and you can be showing value to your community.
And here's what will happen. Now, Julie and I, when we were doing this a lot, We never, I mean, we did this every year and we never asked for any sort of recognition for it. Julie and I are OG Christians and, you know, part and parcel of that is you don't ask for recognition when you're, you know, help when you're doing charity work. But if I were selling real estate and I wanted to do this, I would want the recognition. So what will happen is the store manager at the very least will announce you over the loudspeaker thanking you for what you're doing. But also what will happen is if you do this in an organized fashion, you don't think this is holiday clickbait for all your local forms of media. And maybe your, you know, Walmart or whatever is going to see this as an opportunity for them to maybe suggest that this is something that all people that you maybe should be doing in their local communities. You guys get the idea?
Tons of press releases.
You're going to get press releases. You don't know what's going to come from this because of the fact that you're trying to make a contribution. Now you're saying, well, Tim, there's a lot more profound things in life than, you know, helping, you know, people pay off their toys at Walmart. Well, I got news for you. If you're a poor kid who's not going to have any presents underneath the Christmas tree, you don't know the huge impact that you're going to have on that kid for the rest of their lives and the gratitude that their parents are going to feel. So don't underestimate the importance, and in this particular case, the importance of making a kid's Christmas come true or whatever the holiday gift thing might be. It's not one or the other, but if you have to do one thing, and that's something that Julie and I always love doing, we didn't warn the store manager before we'd walk in. We'd just walk in and, we'd start out by giving them a limit and then we would go and walk around and, you know, the store or go someplace else and come back an hour later. And they say, well, these are all, they have actually done the work and they'd have a stack of the layaways. Maybe we told them $2,500. And then we'd say, okay, so this other stack over here, well, it's because they all qualified, but that would require $5,000. And then we'd always agree to both. And that's the way we did it every year. And, you know, the experience from that still makes me emotional.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Makes such a big impact. Now, next, this is something that the coaches like to organize through our premier coaching on the daily sessions. This is another favorite project. This is called the Wrapping Paper Project, one of the most popular things for our coaching clients. Many listings have resulted. I have proof of it because I get lots of happy emails from coaching clients saying how much this works. Here's your message on your wrapping paper. And of course, you can buy bulk, inexpensive wrapping paper off season. There's lots of ways you can do that.
Well, you know, it's funny, but the best place to buy this, though, I don't know if this business is going to be in business for much longer, but it's the dollar store.
Yeah, they're around.
You can go to the, well, I think I heard that the dollar store is declaring bankruptcy, and I'm not making this up. This isn't a joke or a meme. Because of inflation, there's nothing left at the dollar store that's still
a dollar.
So now everything at the dollar store is like $10. I'm not even making that up.
I know.
But that aside, you can go online and just basically research bulk or wholesale wrapping paper and get it that way.
Yes. So stock up. You know, buying it off season is a great way to do it because it's on sale. Okay. So you have a little message that says, don't get wrapped up with the wrong real estate agent. Something like that. Goes on the card with a simple roll of wrapping paper. You can add gift stickers wrapped with a ribbon that says, stick with me for all of your real estate needs. Add a candy cane and you're all set to deliver to your neighborhood, your geographic farm. You can use in open houses, drop to past clients, pop by a present, take them to expireds for sale by owners. Most of our coaching clients will deliver about 200 per agent on average.
Be sensitive to your community. Like when Julie and I were selling real estate in New Albany, probably half of our centers of influence and past clients and friends were Jewish people. So if you're going to be doing the wrapping paper idea, maybe not have it be...
It can be snowmen and snowflakes.
Right. Don't have it be Christian symbology. Yeah. You know, you guys get the point. So, you know, think.
Read the room. Yeah. Okay. So point number 13, bonus points here. Send your holiday cards early. Be the first to send yours. Consider Thanksgiving cards instead of Christmas to avoid being caught in all the holiday mail in December. You can rent a picture booth or hire a photographer to shoot holiday card photos for people in your database. This usually has a huge turnout, but you have to plan ahead and get that timing right on those. I've had a lot of coaching clients do that.
I'll tell you something that works for a lot of the clients I've had, especially the upper end ones. They'll go and rent out a movie theater.
That's another great event.
It is. Every year there's going to be some holiday movie, family movie that goes out.
Or a new release or something. Yeah.
That comes out every single year. And what you're going to do is you rent the movie theater for like a Saturday afternoon. And, you know, it doesn't cost much. It's like $300 or something. In some cases, it's like $100 because they want people show Saturday afternoons. People don't usually watch movies anyway. They don't go to the movie theater. So they know they're going to make plenty of money off the concessions. So you give everyone an opportunity to watch this new release movie for free and do a lot of hoopla around it. You can go up in front of the room and thank everyone and wish them happy holidays. And, you know, have somebody out, you know, taking pictures and make a big thing of it, like Julia was suggesting. But that's something else that's shockingly inexpensive and amazingly powerful in a sort of upper middle class community. that's very dense with children, like when we were in New Albany. This idea in particular is an absolute home run.
Yes, it's huge. Now, I need to expand this. I'm going to give a couple little bonus points here of medium-sized things that you can do, which are not specifically tied to holidays, and a lot of our coaching clients do this. These are things like organized dinner parties that are fairly regular, maybe once a month with different themes. You can do wine tastings. You can do cooking classes. There's a company that's almost everywhere now, which is, I don't know if you've seen it. We even have one here in Dorado that's like a ceramics painting thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can have small, this would be like 10 to 15 people. Some of them you can do with kids. Some of them you don't want to do with kids. You can have a spa party. You could do a pop-up shop. There's so many different versions of these smaller events.
Well, we know, and you know, some of our introverted folks, frankly, they don't want to do these big, you know, gala type things. And so what they'll do is they'll invite two couples over at their homes like once a month or twice a month that don't know each other.
Yeah.
But they're the nexus, right? So the agent's the nexus. They're the ones that know all the other people, the connector. And so then they are helping these people make new contacts and new friends. You don't have to do it at your house. You could do it at a restaurant as well if you don't want to go through the effort or don't have a house that's going to be good for, you know, having little get-togethers. But these are all things that are going to put yourself in a place where you're belly-to-belly, voice-to-voice, face-to-face. That's the best quality contact you're ever going to make. Think about how long humans have been on planet Earth. Hundreds of thousands of years, maybe even longer. What percent of that time on planet Earth have we been doing anything digitally? The amount of time.
It's a blink.
It's a blink. Even that, it's like a half a blink. So all of our physiology, all of our essentially hardwiring, our, you know, iOS is all designed around real communication, voice to voice, visual, belly to belly. And what do we have now? A whole generation of people that don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to shake hands. They don't know how to look people in the eye. They don't know how to have meaningful conversations. They've lost the art and the science of being what it takes to be human. And this was even made worse because of COVID, especially for little kids. Parents, be very conscientious of that. There's lots of studies coming out that shows that kids are at a massive communication deficit because of those 2 years. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're the person that's going to acknowledge the fact that everyone's pretty much burned out on digital because they are, and you're going to be the person that's going to really own, like imagine if this was the internet just came around in 1996, 1997, and you're the first person to have a website, which in our community we were, and you're the first agent to start doing pay-per-click ads, which in our community we were. Let me tell you, that was amazing. Okay, I remember when Realtor.com started selling making you so you can, you know, on your listings, you could start putting hyperlinks or you could start linking right off Realtor.com to your website, do lead capture, and they didn't charge you anything for that. It was unbelievable the amount of money you could make off digital. But now everyone does it. It's oversaturated. But what nobody's doing is what we've been prescribing to. If it were back in the late 90s, we would be telling you to lean into the digital stuff because it wasn't oversaturated. Now we're suggesting that you essentially go where the market is and where what people truly want are meaningful conversations, you know, with folks that are going to show sincere interest in them. Then it's about knowing how to converse. It's about showing sincere interest. It's about asking questions. It's about, you know, being human.
Yes, being your authentic self. And I think the word authentic is overused, but you get the point. So let's take this full circle. Back when we started this series of three podcasts, our point was you need more business. Everybody listening needs more business. It's part of why the reason you're listening. It's why you get into Premier Coaching. It's why you get more involved with us. Okay, so that's a fact. Everybody would prefer to have business from people who already know, love, and trust you. We know for a fact with many studies where the decision tree is, who do I already know?
So set it up. We did it yesterday. You're making me repeat it, but I don't want to skip over this in case they didn't listen to the previous two podcasts. So if you are trying to decide to hire a roofer, forgive me for repeating what I said yesterday, but it is important. You need to hire a roofer. Your roof is leaking. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to ask yourself, do I know a roofer? If you don't, what are you going to do naturally, listener? You're going to go and ask a trusted friend or advisor for the name of a roofer that they, you know, trust, right? And if they don't know somebody, then you're going to respond to an ad. Only 7% of the time does any consumer make their buying decision based off an advertisement, especially when it comes to professional services, and that's what you guys are. They make all their decisions based on someone they've used in the past or referral from a trusted friend or advisor. I want you to think about what I just said. Why are you spending so much of your time, money, and effort and aspirational, you know, your potential on something that works so few number of times when you now know for a fact that most people are deciding who they're going to use based on someone they already know or a referral from a trusted friend or advisor. If you're a new agent and you're saying, well, I don't have any past clients, sorry, that does not mean that you don't have the ability to build a center of influence and past client list. We teach you how to do that. It's going to start with centers of influence that will turn into past clients, and then you have an expanding list. No matter where you are in the real estate success, you know, career spectrum, you need to be focusing all your best energies on the past, what we taught you in the past two podcasts, because it all leads up to this.
That's right. So in conclusion, your job is to be the one that answers the question, who do I already know who's in real estate? Oh my gosh, I run into Tim and Julie all the time at different things. They're such an asset to our community. I saw them doing this toy drive last month. Be the one that somebody already knows so that other agents say, oh my gosh, how is it that Tim got that beautiful listing? Oh, it must be because somebody already knew him.
I thought you were going to say, how did Tim get that beautiful of a wife?
Oh, I'll take that too. So, in conclusion, be the one that they already know. And don't worry about the cold stuff.
You know how I got that beautiful wife? I prospected her a lot.
You did.
I'm going to tell you guys.
We had real conversations.
I'm going to tell you guys a funny story.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. I love telling stories because Julie doesn't know what the hell I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Julie and I met in high school. Right now, yeah, I know that was a ways ago, but we met in high school. Yes, people used to meet in high school and actually marry their high school sweethearts, yes. Which is what we did. Well, there was another guy that was trying to court Julie.
And prospect me.
Prospect Julie. All right, so there was a homecoming. Was it homecoming?
Yeah.
That was coming up. And it was Julie's sophomore homecoming. Mm-hmm. I was a junior. All right, so I did some homework. I found out from her friends, Jill. I remember asking Jill about what kind of flowers Julie likes. Well, it turns out Julie was an allergenic time bomb who is allergic to just basically everything on planet Earth,
Yeah. Especially
roses. Julie has a strange allergy to this day to roses that she'll get something called rose fever. And she, if not treated with antihistamines, actually could essentially not be able to breathe. I mean, that's how bad it is. It's one of the main reasons we moved to Puerto Rico because there's virtually nothing here that she's allergic to. That was the number one reason we moved here. But that aside, so I find out she's allergic to basically every plant on, certainly in Central Ohio, with the exception of
carnations,
right? So that was the only thing she wasn't allergic to as far as flowers go. Now, the other boy who was trying to court her went and spent all his money on the most beautiful, you guys guessed it, what would it be? Gathering of roses?
Yes, bouquets of roses.
Yes, yeah. And it was an enormous number.
Enough to kill me for sure.
Yeah, exactly. It was the ultimate stink bomb from Julie's perspective. So she couldn't even have the damn things in the house. So the florist comes and delivers these things. They cost this. He worked at a bakery and he must have spent all of his money to buy Julie these roses. He figured, well,
they were beautiful.
I'm going to take Tim out with one, right? Okay, so I found out that she wasn't, so I ended up spending like 49 cents and deliver them myself and drop them off at her door. And I saw these roses that were sitting out and I was like, oh, I won this game.
And you were cuter too.
Oh, well, that helped.
Also, you weren't trying to kill me inadvertently.
Yeah, exactly.
So do your homework, guys. Ask lots of questions.
How did I end up telling this story?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there you go. There's a fun little story that I thought I'd share with all of you. Hey, in the meantime, guys, thank you for keeping this number one listen to daily podcast for real estate professionals in the United States. Please do us a favor and give us a 5-star review over on iTunes. It means the world. Let's iTunes know that you're getting some benefit from this podcast and that then we'll share our podcast with many other agents as well. Guys, we are living our life's mission, being of service to all of you. And we have chosen to be of service to real estate professionals. You have chosen, whether you know it or not, be of service to your buyers and sellers in your community. Hopefully we're doing a great job of educating and motivating you. And you know what I'm going to say? Now it's your job to get into action. In the last 3 days, we've given you a very robust plan on how to actually effectively create a CRM, work your CRM, make money from your CRM, and be of service to other people. Take it seriously. Go back and listen to the past podcasts. Oh, and by the way, we have literally thousands of past podcasts because we've been doing this podcast every single day since at least 2014.
Yes.
So you guys have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.